Father, we love you, we worship you, we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for those that are here, our family that's here and our family that's watching it. It really doesn't matter if, Lord, those that are not present tense, but they are in our hearts. They truly, truly are in our hearts. Wherever they're at in the world, many are in different states. And Lord, we hear from them at times. And then others are in different countries, and we hear from them at times. We're asking that, Lord, that we grow to the place in this year that your presence is so saturating in this house that it flows, that it just ebbs out, that it just flows right through the camera. And I just trust that it is touching their lives in the homes, right in their living rooms. Father, we love you. We can do nothing without you. In Jesus' name, blessings and glory and honor. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. He's going to share with you tonight about waiting on God. And so we're going to get into some scripture, and we're going to do that right to start with. Let's go to the Old Testament. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Hallelujah. Amen. All you students of the Word, are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I appreciate that. Work with me, and we'll have a good time. I like the way Homer always starts. We're going to have a good time tonight. He always encourages me with that. I was like, yes, it's a way to start a service. So go to Isaiah chapter 40. Glory be to God. I have got my notes, but I'm kind of doing this just to give you time. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at verse 28. We're going to go to the New Testament here in a little bit, but I really want us to focus in on the subject of waiting on God, staying in His presence. Isaiah said this, and we're not going to try to cover all of the context of this chapter, but verse 28 says this: Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. In other words, it's unfathomable. It's just always his searching goes on and on and on and on. I'm so glad that God can't get weary. Hallelujah. And that he doesn't faint. That's good to know about our God. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. In other words, in and of our own strength. The prophecy was to Israel, and we can receive it for the modern day church, then in and of ourselves, just like the testimony of Jesus, we can do nothing. But they that wait on the Lord, upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And number three, they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Read that last verse again. They that wait. Now that word wait is, I'll read it to you in just a moment out of the Hebrew. But it really is an action word. It's not a complacent do-nothing word. It really is a word that identifies someone in action, but also still, being still. Waiting. How can two things happen at once? Well, they can. They can with Him. Waiting on God brings the best out that we are. When I say it brings the best out that we are, just think of yourself, or just think of this. First of all, I'm going to use a fictitious character. Let's think about a Marvel character of, I think he's a Marvel character. There's so many different ones. But Superman, okay? Superman. Now, Superman is innately Superman. He is what he is. But he is energized by the S-U-N, the sun. Somebody said, well, I didn't come to church to really get a Marvel exercise. No, we're going to get to the Word. We were already in the Word a little bit. But listen, Superman is who he is. But if you've ever watched any Superman movies, every once in a while he'll fly out of orbit and he just, you know, hovers above the earth and he lets the radiation of the sun just vitalize him and energize him. Okay? We are innately, in other words, having already been made sons and daughters, we have the DNA of the new nature, but we must continually be energized or vitalized by the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. Okay? You are initially have the life of God in you at the rebirth, but it is vitalized by the life of the Son in a continual fellowship by communion in the Holy Ghost. The vine in Scripture is the life of God that comes through communion and is absolutely vital to the church and our assignment. You can live sinless with the life of God only and not have the power. But you cannot fulfill your destiny, as in your ministry call, without the power and the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Does everyone understand that? In other words, you can be born again. That born-again nature sets you free from all sin. But it does not have leadership qualities in it. It can be led, but it cannot lead itself. And it is not a vine of itself. That life will last till the end, as long as you don't destroy it through sin. But that life cannot reproduce itself as in the life that comes by the continual communion, as in waiting on God. And that life does not have direction in it. It has direction as in compass of right and wrong, but it does not have the direction as in leading you into your destiny and your call. And I'm talking about the power. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Our communion in the Holy Ghost and how important it is to wait on God. How absolutely important it is. The word wait, this does not mean to do nothing. It's amazing because simultaneously it's an action word and a be still word at the same time. It's kava, it's pretty close in the Hebrew, and it means to expect together, to look patiently, to tarry and to wait for and on upon. So it's waiting, but it's waiting as in expectation and waiting as in doing something that accentuates the moment of being still, being still. I know that you know this because, again, I ought to brag on you, okay? If I, you say you're trying to patronize us, stroke us a little bit so we can stay with you. Yep, you guessed it. But I'm telling you this, you guys are the spearhead. And here's the deal. We don't get this. I mean, everybody here that I'm looking around the room, everybody I can see right now is going to heaven. If the trumpet sounds or all of us for some reason leave tonight, I'll see you there. That's not a question. But this thing that we're called to, called revival and outpouring, this doesn't happen for us unless this equation works, waiting on God. It has to. It has to. It's part of the vine. It's a major part of the vine. The message is, here we're talking about tonight, the benefits. We're just here for a few moments. I've got a handout that we're really going to go through here in a little bit. So we've got quite a bit to cover. But in this scripture that we just read, in this last part of it, in verse 31, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The three things that are listed in that last part is flying, running, and walking. Does everybody see that? Okay. Now let's talk about eagles for just a moment. Remember, and I'll bring to your attention, I hope everybody was either here or watched the New Year's Eve service, and we gave out some handouts, and we gave out a handout from, Gary Carpenter's face-to-face series, and the particular handout that we gave out was Marking the Trail. And so it was really good, and it said some things in there, and I just want to remind you concerning out of that Marking the Trail, the Holy Spirit said some things to him and then to us prophetically, because we received it as a church in 2019, 18 going out, 19 coming in. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit told us that he would help us was to keep going in a straight line, was to lift us up above the forest to see the direction that we were to go. In that particular handout and in that particular reading, the Holy Spirit said, and I can't remember it now, and I don't have it in front of me, and that's not our lesson tonight, but the Holy Spirit said that one of the ways that I will work with you as you continue with me is to lift you up. I don't want to get out of camera shot here, but is to get you up above the forest. And what he explained was this: most Christians work in a circular fashion, even with the best intentions. They just frail away. They just hit that. Going to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And the Holy Spirit said that you'll never, ever accomplish your call unless you get in a straight line. Unless you get in a straight line and know which trees that I'm asking you to fall, to cut down, you're going to just continue with good intentions, just loving God like crazy, and just frail away half your life. And the Holy Spirit said to him in that particular illustration, he said, I want you to envision this. And he envisioned it, and he said he was cutting in a circular fashion. Then he said, look back to where you've come from. And he said, if you look back to where you started with all the effort that you've been putting forth, you'll notice that you really haven't come from the center of the circle. You've not very far, I should say, from the center of the circle. And the Holy Spirit said, what I will do for you through the essence of communion or the leadership of the Holy Spirit is to cause you to, I will lift you up. And as I lift you up, then you'll be able to see in a straight fashion. Now, in regards to what we're talking about tonight, this is what the Holy Spirit does for us in communion. As we wait on God, as we spend time in our life, prayer life, waiting on God, one of the things that the Holy Spirit, one of the aspects that the Holy Spirit does is to lift us up so that we can see things in a straight line. And we can see things very clearly, because otherwise, I know for myself, my list of things to do will go endlessly. And sometimes good intentions. But I can tell you this, even with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you look at him as the prototype, I've often thought about this, you've heard me say it, with every miracle he did in every city, there was somebody who died in another city. He could not launch out. He couldn't even get all of his disciples. He couldn't get the 70 plus 12. He couldn't get the 82 of them plus himself, 83 people. He could not cover he couldn't get it done. There were other people in other places, But what he did do was he did the will of the Father on a continual basis. That's all you'll be judged by when you get to heaven. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you blah, 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 blah. Checklist, checklist. No, 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 no. Did I do what he told me for today? That's my straight line. Hallelujah. Snails, why is it important to get up here? Why is it important to get elevated? Why is it important? Why? Because from an elevated perspective, and that's what prayer does. It elevates you. It gets you in a place where, not physically, but spiritually, you're looking at everything and you're saying, no, distraction, distraction, not nearly as important as I thought. This, 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 this. Okay, here's, so the higher you go in God, the more you can see, and all of this takes place waiting on God. See, you're like me. Many of you in here are like us. You're not trying to be, but you're very busy. I think Candy and I are some of the busiest people I know, and that's not a brag. That's like many of you. But I know this. I'm way too busy not to pray. I've got too much going on not to wait on God. Because if I don't, I'll get in a mess. My life will be in a mess. Hallelujah. Is that true? Absolutely. Absolutely. See, because the lower you are, you don't spend time with him. This is just snails. You know, they're down pretty far. They don't have much foresight. You know, not even a foot, not even an inch. All they can see is just the next little. They're not eagles. You've been called as waiting on God to be in an eagle position. Hallelujah. The life of the new nature alone will not. I appreciate the life. I'm telling you, man, I thank God all the time I'm saved. I love my new nature. I love it. I love what I hear from it, how it corrects me. But I can tell you the life of your new nature alone will not give you the eagle's eye perspective in seeing things to come. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. My new nature will tell me what's right and wrong, but it cannot teach me all truth. And it cannot teach me things to come. Only the being ascended through waiting on God can I see from that eagle's perspective. Hallelujah. Running. The next one. He that waits on the Lord shall do what? Mount up with wings as an eagle. He shall run, not be, what does it say? Because I'm not looking at it. Not be weary. Not be weary. This can speak of, there's a number of different things. I'll let the Holy Spirit speak to you, but concerning this as you meditate it. But this can speak of running a race with endurance. But I can tell you this: we've all figured this out. We've not completely figured this out, but we do know this. This is not a sprint. 22 years later, we found out it wasn't a sprint. This is not a 5K. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's not. Listen, this is not even a marathon. This is an ultra marathon. Do you know what an ultra is? Marathons are 26 miles and 2/10. Okay? Ultra marathons, they have them out west. They're like 100 miles, some of them plus. Some of them 200-300 miles. Okay? Ultra marathons. Listen, if you'll get this, and I think most of you have, if you've lasted around here, if you know this, it'll help you. Now, there are reprieves, like reprieves, like you get a parenthesis around like a time in your life where dominion has brought peace, a sense of, well, we always walk in peace, but I'm talking about where you're not just fighting everything in front of you. Those are reprieves, and they're great. And they're refreshing. But here's the thing. Here's what will help you. If you realize that there's always a war from beginning to end. If you're on this path, when does the war stop? Never. Never. If you ever think that there's not going to be a war, then you're already fooled. They asked Kenneth Hagin, they said, somebody said, well, the devil has really been fighting me. And this person said, now this might not be verbatim, but it was close. They said, they came to Pastor Hagin, they said, pray that the devil will not bother me anymore. He said, all I can do for that is to pray that you die and go to heaven. Because you got to be out of this world for him not to fight you. Because he's going to fight you all the time. And every day if he can. And every moment of the day. So everybody's in a war if you're on the path. Everybody's in a war. Okay, all the way. So this is not a sprint. It's not even a marathon. As I said, it's an ultra marathon. The vision I had, I wrote this down. The vision I had when I remembered this scripture early this morning when I was praying today was one of a battlefield and soldiers charging, running. Now, the running wasn't a race. I actually saw this little inner vision. And to be, you know, I should be in church. To be quite honest, the vision, I don't know if the Holy Spirit was sanctifying this or not, but at least I saw this because he knew I'd watched it. The vision I saw was Sir William Wallace, Braveheart. And he was running across the field with a lot of Scots beside of him. And he was charging the field. Running and not being weary in battle is mate. Listen, that's David. That's David. That's crossing the field to your enemy, and he ran. He ran. 1 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Actually, I'll tell you what. I don't know if I should use this slang or not, but I'll tell you, Paul had a chip on his shoulder in a good way. Paul had a swag in his spirit in a good way when he wrote this. Listen, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is in Romans 8:35. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, now he actually names demonic spirits, angels, principalities, powers, things to come, nor or present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He was totally persuaded. But you know what? In our lesson tonight, even though you've got the life of God, there's a lot of Christians that's got the life of God, but they're just powerless. Your power comes by waiting on God. And your encouragement, he wants us to be in a position where we understand this. Some of the millennials understand this. You understand this. And I'm not trying to be cute, but I'm telling you the confidence. Paul had a swag. Paul had a confidence that there was nothing that no matter what was presented in his life, he said, we're more than conquerors. He said, we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. But where does that come from? It doesn't come from any place else but waiting on him, spending time. Okay. Walking. This is the last one in this particular verse. And what I've envisioned as I was meditating this is walking alongside of the Lord Jesus and just asking him questions. There's another... You know, I've told you this before, and this is just me. In the last year or plus, I've been going through the face-to-face communion readings that the Lord gave Gary, and because it's to the whole church. And I do that three or four times a week, several times a week. And that's just part of everything else I do in my devotion. It has blessed me so much. There's another one in there that the Holy Spirit, and I think it is communion with the Holy Spirit, but the Lord says to him, and it's to the whole body of Christ, that the Holy Spirit has come in a fashion in a way that is if, oh, here's how he started it out. I'm trying to remember as I'm talking. The Lord said to him, if you were with Jesus when he was on planet Earth, if you were one of his disciples, or if you put yourself in a position where you were walking with the Lord, to ask him a question and receive an answer from him would be all it would require. It would require no spiritual exercise. It would just be you ask him a question and he gave you an answer. Now that he's ascended and the Holy Spirit has come, the communion with the Holy Spirit is to be on the same level that if you ask Jesus a question, and the Holy Spirit said to him, I have come, there is no spiritual exercise in essence, and I'm not getting that totally straight, in just talking to me, and you're to expect an immediate answer in the same way as if you were physically walking alongside of Jesus. And he says, I have come because my children have a hard time getting in the presence of the Father and of the Son, but they have to realize that they are always, always, whether they realize or feel it or not, feel the experience or not, they're always in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you know you wake up every morning in the Holy Ghost? I don't care if you have the chills, the thrills, the whatever. He's there. Now, God the Father's not there in the sense that God the Father is literally in heaven, but he is there through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not there. He's in a glorified body in a celestial place next to God, the Father. But the Holy Ghost is right there. He's right there. And so when we're walking through the day and we're asking questions, we should ask questions as if Jesus was right there, because he's our Lord, and the Holy Spirit hears from him and gives us whatever is the mind of Christ for our life. And I when I was meditating that, I wrote this down, this is a question you don't have to answer, but answer it in your own heart. But I hope, because I hope that you're already at this place, because, hey, listen, January's headed towards an end. You know, it's already, we're headed towards the other half of it. But listen, he's asking me, I'm asking you, and we're asking each other, what are his instructions for 2019? What are you to start? Is there something that he's telling you to start? What are you to stop? I mean, I'm not talking about, sometimes when we say stop, we're thinking about, I got to stop, do that. That's probably of the flesh, or maybe that's a little bit not. No, what are you, sometimes what are you to stop, as in that was old instruction. See, you can't live off of old manna. 218's gone, 217's gone. He gave me, okay, is that instruction the instruction that is keep going forward? When you get lifted up above the forest, is that present tense manna? Is that present tense instruction? Well, I don't know. Well, you're supposed to know because you have a living Lord. I like the way Gary says it. You have a living Lord. He's supposed to talk to you. He will talk to you through the person of the Holy Spirit. What are you to start? What are you to stop? What are you to change? What are you to decrease? What are you to increase? This is not always, we talk a lot around here about mortification, and we should, we always will, but it's not always the sin factor. Sometimes it's obedience in, like, okay, I was doing that. I don't want me to do that anymore. That's something he doesn't want. I used to go there. I used to minister in that. That ministry is closed down, so I'm going to do this now. Hallelujah. You have a living Lord, and you should check in with him on a continual basis, and especially at the beginning of the year, to say, okay, what's my instruction for now? And this only comes by waiting on him. You don't get it running up and down the road real quick. You got to take that time out. Hallelujah. Lamentations 3, I'll just read this for you, because some of you might have a time on you finding Lamentations in your Bible. Lamentations 3:21 says this, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." Man, I like hope. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." Hallelujah. "Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he'll renew that strength every morning? His mercies are fresh and new every morning. Verse 26, it's good for a man that he should both hope and wait, or quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now, our overall instruction to receive an outpouring and be conformed to his image has not changed. But I'm telling you, we have to stay focused and follow him on a continual basis. Amen? John 10:27, don't turn there, just more ammunition on that. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Now I'll say this, we are equipped to hear his voice, but hearing takes waiting, and it takes practice. It does take practice. But I'm telling you, listen, one of the things that I've enjoyed out of face-to-face communication, or face-to-face documents, is that it has honed in my spiritual senses more acutely aware to hearing God than ever before. Now, this is no brag. This is maybe the testimony of many of you. I have prayed in tongues for hours, for years, on a daily basis. Not every day, but many, 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 many days. That's got my spiritual ear, and I went through the whole thing years ago of learning how to locate the voice of my spiritual ear, and that two-tape series by Pastor Dave on distinguishing God's voice. Man, that was valuable, so valuable. But I'll tell you, the more time you spend waiting on him, the more that his voice, you know, I'll tell Candy some things from time to time that, you know, only a man shares with his wife and or an intimate friend, and how the Lord speaks. And I'll tell you, now, this isn't just for me. It's for many of you, and many of you say, yeah, he does that all the time. But, you can hear his voice. He'll say things to you. He'll call you by name. I've had him just like you'd call me by name. And I mean, if you just said, if you swore on a stack of Bibles, I know he said it. Just as sure as you said it, he'd call me Bronk and talk to me. He's not a distant God. He knows you. He knows your good things about you. He knows the not so good things about you, but he loves you. Hallelujah. He says Robert. Barb. He probably says Barb. Hallelujah. So we're doing pretty good. Let's look at some New Testament examples of those who waited on God and partially failed, and those who waited sufficiently. Turn to Acts chapter 1, okay? Because we got a handout here I got to get to. Okay, let's do it. Hallelujah, because we got quite a bit. Acts chapter 1. This is the promise concerning the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, Luke is our author, and Luke is writing to us, and Luke is very detailed. You know, remember how we talked about Luke. We appreciated him. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of that Jesus began to do and to teach. I'm looking at verse 1. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he had, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles which he had chosen, to whom, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Here's one of our key words, but wait. Everybody say wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. Now, before we read on into verse 5, it says, being seen of them 40 days, and he said that being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Now, there is a scripture also in Acts. I can't prove this. Now, this I can't prove it, but It says in one place that he was seen at one time above 500, meaning more than 500 people. My belief is that at the ascension, there was a large group gathered there. There was a whole bunch gathered there. And that, to me, I believe that's when that whole biggest group was there. In John, verse 5, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This is what he's saying. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore unto the kingdom, restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when they had and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their. Don't you wish you could have seen that? Oh, Jesus. We're going to see him come back. They saw him leave. And while they looked steadfastly towards the heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Yes. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. That's telling a distance, not a time. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So his at this time, his family, his brothers were there as well. They were instructed to wait. Do you see that? That's obvious. And here, I'm doing a little side note here, that just for teaching purposes, so you'll kind of get an appreciation of the whole of Scripture. Jesus makes his ascension here, but always remember, I'll just give you some brief scriptures on this, because we're headed towards someplace else, and we really got to get there. Jesus had one private ascension, and then he had one, public ascension. In other words, when they saw him go, that wasn't the first time he left. That's pretty cool, isn't it? When everybody's seeing him leave, he'd already been gone one time during that time. Well, how do you know? Well, I can tell you. He had a private ascension, and then he had a public ascension. John 20, verse 16. You don't have to. You can turn there, but you don't have to. This is right after Jesus came out of the tomb. Jesus and Mary. Mary comes running up to him. She recognizes him. Jesus saith to her, Mary, and she turned herself and saith to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. Okay, so don't touch me, Mary. I haven't ascended, okay? In the same chapter, in time, a little short time later, after 8 days, his disciples, verse 26, after 8 days, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, that was pretty cool. They're there. The doors are shut. The windows are locked. They're talking, they're hiding, and all of a sudden, I tell you what, when he said, peace be still, I don't know if I'd have had peace be still. When somebody just appears beside of you and says, peace be still. Then saith he to Thomas, verse 27, because this has already gone on before when Thomas wasn't there, but I didn't pick out those verses. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, be not faithless, but believing. Is he telling Thomas, touch me now? Now you can touch me. Why? Because I've ascended. I like this. Jesus had a private ascension. You know, a lot of times there's a, and I'm not talking about something negative like a funeral. I'd like to go something positive. But sometimes when a great event takes place, there's kind of a private viewing by the next of kin first, and then there's a public viewing. Hallelujah. Jesus, it was like Jesus and the Father wanted to have their first meeting just next of kin. Hallelujah. I remember when my daughter got married, one of them, and you know, the groom's not supposed to see her, but I married him, and Dad went back and saw the bride before everybody else. That's a private viewing. I think God the Father said, can you imagine that first viewing when Jesus comes in there? Hey, Father, I'm home. Hallelujah. Boy, you're talking about wanting to be a fly on the wall. Ooh, Jesus. Lord, that'll put the goosebumps on top of your goosebumps. Now, everybody saw him the second time because he'd come back, and then by the time he comes back, he's saying, you can touch me. Hallelujah. Perfect. I mean, he just, man. So in his public ascension, we just read that, how that he was seen of all those. But listen to this. Here's the synopsis. They were waiting, and they were born again. It says in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly up into heaven, ascended. And so, let me go to the next notes here. Are you getting anything out of this? I hope you are. Hallelujah. And we still got a handout which we got to get to. When the disciples were to start with, before, and I said I didn't have this passage, but I see that I do have it here. When they were in this particular room before he comes in and tells Thomas, touch me. This is in John 20, verse 19. It says, in the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and his disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now, this is the first time. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as the Father hath sent me, even so us, so send I you. And when he had said this, when he said that, at that moment, the word says he breathed on them, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So he's standing there talking to them. I wish I'd have read this one first, but because this is the first one before Thomas, and this is all in chapter 20, but catch this chronology here. This is before, because they all saw him, the 11 minus Thomas, so there's 10 of them. They're all there. Thomas is not there. Jesus comes in this first time, does the same thing he does later, peace be still, peace, rather. He just appears there, and then he's showing them himself, and after he talks to them for a few moments, he breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Ghost. Well, this is not, nobody started speaking in tongues. This is not the baptism of fire. This is them being born again. This is the first time now since he has ascended to the Father and he's come back, they have salvation. Everything now is complete for anyone to be born again. So those 10 guys there are the first to ever be born again. Thomas, you're running a week behind, buddy, you know. So, but anyway, when they were born again, they received not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they received the Holy Spirit coming into them like you and I do when we're born again. But then Jesus also later instructed them, go, wait, and tarry. Now, I'll tell you this. This is more just instruction for understanding. The above passage that I just read, that Jesus was seen up to 40 days after his passion. The passion means when he died and he rose again. It is 50 days from Passover, and that's when he was crucified on the Passover. It's 50 days from Passover to Pentecost, and Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came, okay? It's 50 days. Therefore, the disciples, they seen him up to 40 days, and it's 50 days from the time he was killed and resurrection to the time the Holy Spirit fell. So all I'm saying in that is this. They were waiting 7 to 10 days, okay? They were in that upper room waiting 7 to 10 days. The following example gives a perfect illustration of the necessity in not only possessing, you know, we did that, how many enjoyed, that's a question, but many of you have seen it before. We saw that teaching and video Sunday night of baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. That was really good. And Gary had some really wonderful illustrations on there and showed that pillar of fire. But what you see here in what we read next here, or what we look at here, is a perfect illustration of the necessity in not only possessing the candle, but also the baptism of fire. Okay, remember the candle was given, but the fire, at that point in time, they all received the candle. And I'm not trying to teach that message at Gary's, because he does an excellent job, but there's so much truth in that. They received the candle at that point in time, but they didn't receive the fire. They didn't receive that pillar of fire. So when we look at Acts chapter 1, verse 15, let's go down there and look at that so you're following along with me. Now let's look at Peter, what he does here. Hallelujah. Everybody still with me? I hope you are out there. Look at verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, now here's, I'm going to show you something because I really believe that Peter got antsy here. There's nothing that proves exactly. I'm just telling you a lot of this is my opinion. What I can tell you unequivocally is what I show you from this to the next illustration, there are two totally different they're totally different in that you'll see that one carries with it the accentuation or the authority of waiting on God versus what could have been partially what man did. Let me say this, because I'm kind of, you're kind of wondering. When the Bible tells you something, or the Bible, like Luke, he's writing this for us. Everything that he's writing and everything that it records, you've got to understand it's all the Word of God, and it all is factual, and it's all truth, but Luke records the events, okay? That doesn't mean that all of everything that he was saying was sanctified. That doesn't mean that everything was totally ordained. It just tells you what happened, okay? So do you understand that part? That's what I'm trying to say, okay? So in verse 15, it said, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Now, they're still waiting on the Holy Spirit, right? He hasn't come. And said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled. I kind of feel like, okay, wait a minute, Peter. You've done this all through the ministry of Jesus, and now you're born again, but you're still not filled with the Holy Ghost. And if I could go back in time, I could say to Peter, wait, just wait, okay? He's coming, but maybe you should wait until he gets here before you start quoting scripture, okay? He said this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had attained part of this ministry. But this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity and falling headlong. He burst asunder in the midst of it, and all of his bowels gushed out. Ooh. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, inasmuch as it is the field called in the proper tongue Aeskeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his bishop, his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So Peter's kind of trying to take charge here and really do something nice. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. In other words, they've kind of been, they're saying, we've got some people here that have been with us from the very beginning, but I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute, Peter, why didn't he choose them, okay? why didn't he choose them? I mean, you know, he didn't choose them, okay? Let's wait. And verse 22, beginning with the baptism of John into the same day that was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Lord, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men. Okay, they did pray. We're going to give them that. Show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and the apostleship which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. And the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. Now listen, I've studied this several times before. They can't tell you exactly. You blah, blah, blah. You'll go through five different comments. It was either this. The lots were votes, or some commentaries will tell you, and you know, I don't go off all commentaries, but I can tell you just a large spectrum. This was not, you don't get in this passage here, the Holy Ghost said. Lots were votes or straws. It was like a straw thing, or dice. It was dice. In other words, they prayed, and see, isn't that what much of the body of Christ does? They pray and then they vote. Or they pray and then they say, okay. They pray and then they draw straws. That's not us. We're to wait on him. And I'm reading this. You know, in hindsight, I'm saying, Peter, wait. He's coming in just a few days. You got the candle, but you don't have the flame. He can't show you all things to come. You say, well, you mean to tell me if you've just got the candle and you're not baptized and speaking in other tongues that you can't hear his voice? I'm not saying that, but if the man, and I say it very respectful, the man Jesus told you to wait, here's an octagon, here's a stop sign that says stop. Don't do anything. Peter, don't do any. Peter, hush, Peter. Don't do anything. Because you got us drawing straws or casting lots or rolling dice. I don't know. You'll never find that again in the new. After he falls, you don't find drawing straws, voting, or casting dice. You don't find it. What you do find is this. Let's look at what happens when you wait on God. Look at Acts 13, verse 1. Now this is well after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 says, now there were in the church at Antioch certain apostles, teachers, Barnabas, Simon, was called Niger, and Lucius, and Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Well, that must have been January. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost, you see this? The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, that's Paul, of course, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them and sent them away. Hallelujah. See, it's not supposed to be like, okay, it's not a vote, it's not drawing straws, and it's not casting dice. It's praying, waiting, listening. Oh, okay. I don't even know when it said they cast their lots, plural, and the lot fell on, I don't know, you know, there was 10 of them. I don't know if it was a 7-3 vote or what. It could have been. It's supposed to be when people wait on God, it's a unanimous, the voice of the Holy Ghost. He has spoken. That's the leadership, but it's waiting on God. It's waiting on God. Let's go to our handouts. Let me give these two handsome young men. Would you pass these out? I got one, I think. Yep. This is another This is another face-to-face. I'm kind of showing you where I've been in some of these. Listen, those of you who are watching, as these guys are passing these out, especially you millennials, you're real fast. Listen, I have an icon. I have a tray set up with all my ministries on it. So I've got an icon of Gary Carpenter's ministry. But if you just went and went to garycarpenter.org, GaryCarpenter.org, listen, bam, there it is. You're going to see his beautiful mug, I mean his beautiful picture. I got to be nice because here, Gary might listen to this. It's going to pop up, and right underneath his picture in a column, you'll see media. You're going to hit media because if you want to follow along with this reading, and then it'll go to teaching categories. As soon as you hit media, and you'll see two columns. And on the right column, as you're looking down at your page, it'll say face-to-face series. You hit that, and again, if you're following along with me, there's a picture that comes up. It's not Gary. It looks like it could have been Gary, but this picture has some guy, some handsome dude in a suit and tie. So I know that's not Gary. I'm just kidding. It is Gary. Okay, and he gives you the synopsis of how the Holy Spirit led him into this. So if you go down to all these teachings, it's number 9, waiting on God. Okay? And you'll just hit, it says HTML. You hit that, and that whole reading comes up. Okay, so everybody, we're doing good. We're going to have you out of here at the proper time. Let's look at waiting on God. Has everybody got one? Okay. And this is what the Holy Spirit said to him during that time. I'm not going to go into how that all developed. That was a really good time that Gary was hearing from the Lord. But it's very prophetic. That's why God gave it to the entire body of Christ. So the Lord said this. I'll read along. Please read with me. Or I'm going to read. Please read along with me. Is the simplicity of the anointing beginning to dawn now upon your understanding? Are you beginning to understand now how accurately He spoke when He said, all things are possible to those that believe? How could anything be impossible when I, now this is talking from the person, remember this is communication between Him and the Holy Spirit, who brought into manifestation all things by the power resident within myself, am with you to restore all things which have been perverted to conform to the will of your Father which is in heaven. The simplicity of the anointing is beginning to break as the day star upon your mind, says the Spirit of grace. I am the anointing. I am alive. I communicate with you. As you obey without question, you release the power that is resident within myself to flow into all situations to bring the victory that was provided by the Lord Jesus when He triumphed at the cross. This knowledge relieves your mind of all anxiety regarding performance as you understand. Understanding comes to a place now where you know that it is not by your own power or your own holiness that the works of Christ are performed in the earth, but rather it is by faith. Faith in His name that is exalted above every name that is named. He is Lord of all. I have come to enforce His lordship and to bring to nothing every work that the enemy has successfully performed in the lives of men. I bring to nothing every work of the enemy. Not only that, but I restore the damage that has been done by his operation. I restore all things to the will of the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus by your faith. Now your definition of faith and your understanding of faith has climbed another rung on the ladder. Obedience without question to the mind and the voice and the will of the Spirit is the kind of faith that I can flow into to manifest the Father's will unto restoration. Simply walking humbly with your God, hearing my voice, obeying my instructions without a question, This is all that is required to bring the anointing into every situation, to restore those situations to the Father's will. I ask again, is the simplicity of the anointing beginning to dawn on your understanding? Do you see how that in the same way that I anointed the Spirit within Jesus with dominion, is the same way that I anoint that life that he had within himself with dominion? In the same way, I anoint his life in you with dominion. This is what I meant when I spoke to you last year and said, allow me to anoint your spirit with dominion. Your reborn human spirit is of Christ. His life has been imparted to you in that spirit. As I anointed the spirit within him with dominion, so I anoint with dominion the spirit within you. The ways of man and the ways of the spirit are two very distinct, separate paths. The former is the path of religion, the way which seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. The latter is the life of Christ imparted to man's dead spirits and the anointing of dominion which the Father gives by me to restore all things to the will of the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These two paths never meet. These paths do not mingle. These paths are separate and distinct. They cannot be mixed. They cannot be compromised. They cannot be blended. It is one or the other. Of all things in the universe, many can be compromised. This truth cannot. It is religion or life. Choose this day, choose this day, choose this day, choose life, says the Spirit of grace. The ways of man produce the works of the flesh in the name of God. The works of the flesh produce death. The life of Christ in mortal flesh, anointed with dominion by the Spirit of the living God, brings the life of the Father into every situation. These paths never cross. They never mingle. They're separate and distinct. You would be appalled if I were to show you how few ministries worldwide are on the path of life. From that vantage point, you would no longer wonder why the manifestations of power are seen so seldom. I cannot anoint death with myself. I flow not with death. I anoint the life of Christ. I flow into faith that proceeds from his mind. I flow into faith which is according to the Father's will. He spoke the truth when he said that many shall say unto him in that day, have we not cast out many devils in thy name? Have we not done many wondrous works in thy name? They have clothed their own dead works with the banner of his name. I anoint not death. I anoint life with the dominion of the Father. It is not that many of these ministries do not have the life in the sense that those in them are not born again. Many are. Yet they have yet or never yielded the life within them to my direction, says the Spirit of grace. Many have life in their spirit, yet their direction comes from their own mind. Their lordship is their own lordship, and their direction is set of their own making. They flow not with his mind. They hearken not to my counsel. There is life in their spirit, yet death in their actions. With this I cannot flow, says the Spirit of grace. Jesus is Lord of all. He's the head of the church. His mind is the will of the Father. I anoint his life. I anoint his life in heaven, in believers who will yield to his mind as I bring the counsel of his mind from the throne unto them. Those who will bow the knee and yield up their life unto him, those are the ones whom I anoint. I anoint his life in them with dominion. Many offer the life of Christ within them as a sacrifice on the altar of their own will. The Father desires the opposite, that they offer their own will as a sacrifice on the altar of his life. For those who yield their will and love not their lives unto death, but seek to know the Lamb, to love the Lamb, and to serve the Lamb, for those all things are possible. There are no limits to the dominion I will bring to their spirit, says the Spirit of grace. It is futile to endeavor to serve Him without knowing Him. The major cause for failure in ministries who claim His name is they do not know Him. Without knowing Him, they are left with no choice but to attempt to serve Him with their best efforts according to the direction of their own minds. You cannot know Him except by me, says the Spirit of grace. As the Father cannot be known except through the Son cannot be known except by me. It is a simple question, really. Is the life of Christ that has been imparted to man's spirit to be led by the carnal mind of man? Or is the life of Christ imparted to man's spirit to be led by Christ Himself? I have come to bring you His mind. As you will bow the knee to His mind, I bring direction and leadership according to the will of the Father. On that path, there's anointing. On that path, there's life. On that path, there is no limits. On that path, there are no boundaries. On that path, all things are possible. The art of waiting on God has been lost to this generation. One of the paths where you are to notch the trees is to lead men once again, and I say this to us because we're ministers of His, back to the understanding of how to truly wait upon God. Without knowing how to wait on God, the life of Christ within every believer becomes the servant of the carnal mind within each believer. This is not the Father's will. This is not the Father's plan. To wait on God is to spend time in my presence as I bring you the mind of Christ. I'll read that again. To wait on God is to spend time. I'm pulling Nathan now. Everybody say time. Everybody say time. Hallelujah. That's it. In my presence, your responsibility is to submit your will to the mind as I unfold the will of the Father unto you. As you yield your life unto that life of Christ and His mind revealed in you, you then step onto the path of dominion. This is the path of anointing. This is the path of great blessing, says the Spirit of grace. To wait upon me is to sit. Everybody say sit. That's that Hebrew word which has action but quietness at the same time. To wait upon the Lord is to sit in my presence and to hear the mind of the Lord until you have received His counsel in completeness. At that point, you yield your will unto His mind. You go where I say go. You say what I tell you to say. You do what I say, or say do. You act as I say act. As you conform to the mind of Him who called you, then I perform all the Father's good pleasure as you walk in the steps of the mind of Christ. Thank you. It is the Father's will for His children to be guessing, wondering, assuming what is the mind of Christ for them each day. Thank you that the Father has left them as orphans to find their own way through the world of darkness. No, He has not left you orphans. For this purpose, I have been sent to bring you the light of counsel of the mind of Christ. There's no room for guessing. There's no room for wondering. There's no justification for assuming His will and His mind. I'm the helper whom the Father has sent to relieve you from all those things, says the Spirit of truth. I bring the mind of Christ in great detail for those who are willing to sit, wait upon their God until they receive the counsel, the specific will of the mind of Christ in every situation. From the Father's perspective, He sees the life of Christ within every believers being directed by the will of man, by the mind of man, and not by the mind of Christ. This was never His will. This was never His plan. What causes such aberrations as this? Not knowing the Comforter who has come to be the guide, who has come to bring the counsel and bring the mind of Christ to believers, not having intimate fellowship and communion with me, myself. The Father is pleased that you will humble yourself, sit, hear the voice of His Spirit as I bring unto you the mind of Christ for your life. It is better for you to do one thing each day. Boy, this is a statement. according to his mind than 1,000 things each day according to your own. Learn to wait. Is that powerful? Learn to wait upon your God. I will not fail you. I will not leave you in the dark. I will bring you the light of his counsel, and you shall walk as man who walks in the light of day, where there is no occasion of stumbling, says the Spirit of grace. Continue to humble yourself. Wait upon God, your God. You will teach many how to follow on this path. This is the path of dominion. This is the path of anointing. And this is the path the Father has chosen for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff or what? I would keep that as part of, you know, your blueprint. Put it in the... Listen, I've said this so many times. I say it again because I try to take out any excuses. I know most of you in here, you're called as ministers, but you're not necessarily called as... This is what I do for a living. Okay, this is what I do. And I do other stuff. I mean, I don't just pray all day, okay? But I do have my times of prayer. I get up early. I pray. I have my hours I put in. I put my prayer time and word time in, on and on and on. You're not, most of you in here are not called for that. I mean, you're just as precious. You can receive from the Lord. I understand you're working people. You're working mothers. You're working fathers. You're working family members. So we're not trying to put, but wherever you're at in life, whatever your station is, all of us have been called to spend time with God. So, I mean, maybe in the sense, and it's true, I've got more opportunity in that. That's not only my vocation. My vocation is my call. There, and then you have an occupation. It's really neat for me in the sense that my occupation, my vocation and occupation are one and the same. That's cool. So that gives me more time. So I don't stand in an ascended place and say, you guys got to pray and you got to pray as much as I do. I'm not, but you do have to find your altar. You do have to find your altar, and your altar has to be, if you want to be part and partisan to all this, it has to be that waiting time. It has to be. You're going to go through seasons where things are just a little bit more crazier than others. I understand that. Where time is just, you just fight for every minute. But you've got to find that place. Because it's out of that waiting that all things take place. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Did you get anything? Amen. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. Teach us to continue to wait on God. To sit very patiently, quietly, worship, pray in tongues. In that quiet time of our homes, our places, wherever we're at, wherever that time is, you individualize for each of us. We commit this keeping, and those that are watching, that, Lord, you take us all into those precious waiting on God times. We bless this word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Don't forget to pick up your giving reports. Amen.